following is a presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
It's a Motor City Monday on the Huge Show across Michigan, presented by your Detroit Tigers. Make sure you text Tigers to 21,000 for your chance to win a pair of tickets each and every week through the end of May. Just text Tigers to 21,000 one time, and you'll be in the weekly drawings through May. And also, if you want to save 15% on select game tickets in April and May, go to tigers.com/huge show. That's tigers.com/huge show. It is a Motor City Monday, presented by the Detroit Tigers on the Michigan Sports Network.
Are you ready for huge opinions on the Lions, Tigers, Wings, Pistons, Michigan, MSU, and every sports team in the state of Michigan? It's time for The Huge Show. From the east side to the west side to the UP, The Huge Show is on air statewide on the Michigan Sports Network. Voice your huge opinions now at 1-866-838-HUGE. That's 1-866-838-4843. Now, the huge one, Bill Simonson.
What's up, Michigan? It is time for another hour of the only syndicated statewide afternoon sports radio show, 19 stations strong. For the one close to you, go to thehugeshow.net. There you can listen to the free stream weekdays at 3. And on the iHeart app, search The Huge Show, and you can listen anywhere in the world where you get mobile service. Inside this hour, Jeff Risden from Lions Wire, Draft Wire, part of the USA Today network. He spent his entire week down in Detroit between Allen Park and the draft site along the Detroit River. Record attendance numbers, peaceful, couple of arrests, Detroit worldwide image, Lions Nation, Lions franchise. We can go down and check every box that they did. Lions had a solid draft. When you look at the Lions, final thoughts on their draft class, and we'll get to the rest of the NFL, Jeff. Are there any negatives you see here that the head scratcher of Rake Straw, the corner out of Missouri, we already talked about that. He could provide the ability to not have to give Davis a long-term deal after his one-year deal is done in 2024. Any other players you thought that they missed on?
You know, the two fourth-round picks that they made and the trades up to get them, Giovanni Manu will be a backup tackle, hopefully, this year. Again, as we talked about in the last hour, I talked to Canadian scouts, a CFL scout specifically, who has watched him play, who has seen him in person play, and he's like, he's a year away. Like, so that's risky. They didn't give up any draft assets this year. He was sort of a bonus. They traded away their third-round pick next year. And that's a lot to give up for a guy that probably isn't going to play at all as a rookie. But they feel that strongly enough about his potential. And it became pretty clear in the draft media room that he was in demand. Like, if they weren't going to get him there, he wasn't going to be there much later. Whether it was going to be the Eagles or the Cowboys or the Browns, they all had a lot of interest in him. Apparently the Jets were somewhat interested, from what I understand. So, like, they had to move if they wanted him, and they wanted him. And he fits what they want very well. So that's one that, you know, like, if you're going to be skeptical or, like, disappointed in what the Lions did, that's one. Sione Vaki spending a fourth-round pick on a guy who's probably never going to play anything with special teams, or maybe he supplants Craig Reynolds as your third or fourth running back. Maybe. That's a lot to spend for a fourth-round pick. But he, again, another culture fit guy, another guy, versatility. Do you remember when Godwin Igwebuike was here? He started out as a safety and moved to running back. That's sort of what Vaki did for Utah. I watched him play safety at Utah. He is not an NFL safety. I tweeted this out on Saturday after they drafted him. He plays on train tracks. If you're on his tracks, you're gonna die. Like, he will run through you and bury you. But if you're not on his tracks, he won't even see you. That's how he played safety. And it worked at Utah because they had a system that facilitates that, and they had really good linebackers in front of him. NFL, he was probably not draftable as a safety, but as a running back, he gets the ball, he sees the hole, he goes through it very quickly, very powerfully. And he is custom made to be your kick returner and an asset in covering kicks and covering punts like that. So that's a fourth round pick. That's a lot to give for that spot. But the Lions, they want to get better there, and they want to emphasize that. And you know, you look at other players they would have taken. Would Vaki have been in my? Well, Vaki probably would have been in my like top 10 players available at that point. Manu, again, I've never seen him play other than that highlight reel that goes around, so I can't judge the evaluation on that. But I would have preferred they went somewhere else there. But I'm not going to hate on the pick because I don't know the guy. He could wind up being great, and that wouldn't surprise me either, based on the way that they've evaluated talent in the past. So, you know, that's where you get nitpicky on it. And I think a lot of the negative grades and opinion that came out of it from Lions media, but more so the fans, is just like, who is this guy? Like, I didn't know that the University of British Columbia existed. Like, do they play football? Do they play Canadian football? Or do they play American football? They play Canadian football. It was so unknown. Like, this was the 21st NFL draft I've covered for a living. For me to not know who I was aware of him because he took a visit with the Lions, and like there was buzz growing for him after his workout when at 352 pounds he ran a 4.8540, ran the 10-yard split in like an absurd quick thing. And you look at the guy and you see the pictures of him when he's wearing like street clothes, and like, holy crap. Like, that guy can move like that, so I'm going to reserve judgment on that one. I want to see him in person. I hope that he's down there at the rookie mini camp. It sounds like he's already like been in the building and everything. So, but that's the spot where would another wide receiver have made sense? Would a safety have made sense? Would a defensive tackle? Now they got one in Wingo, so that sort of resolved that. But there are still some holes on that roster that didn't get filled, and if he doesn't play as a rookie, there are going to be some people that grumble about that, and rightfully so. This is a team that is ready to win this Super Bowl next year. There's no reason they can't. But if they fall short because Taylor Decker gets hurt and your guy that you spent your next third-round pick on isn't ready to be his backup, yeah, people are going to look weird at that. And rightfully so.
The receiver in safety, we talked about it a little bit earlier, that they're going to wait and see now what the rookies look like in rookie camp. There's still some money left. You think they'll fill those holes here on the open market?
Yeah, at safety. And we talked about Isaiah Williams, the undrafted free agent from Illinois. Again, they're paying him more than they're paying their sixth-round picks this year. He's going to make the team unless he's terrible. So that's a pretty good sign that they like their wide receiver. And that was one of the things that we talked about in the Detroit draft media and just people. A select group of us got to go to a USAA event with Amon Ross St. Brown on Thursday. And we were talking about the wide receivers because we're there, you know, with Amon Ross. And there was a few of us in the media. Eric Woodyard from ESPN was one of them. And he's like, man, I'm telling you, they like their receivers, man. They're not going there. They like DPJ, Donovan Peoples-Jones. By the way, if you haven't seen Donovan Peoples-Jones recently, you're not going to recognize him. He has rocked up. He is built. He looks like he's like inflated almost in terms of his upper body and everything. He's not that skinny guy that you remember from Michigan anymore. He has added some serious mass. I haven't seen him in person yet, but the pictures of him look like, wow, is that the same guy that I remember covering in Cleveland, you know, where he was, you know, struggling to get past off jams and everything? Like, I think he's taken that to heart. And they've always liked Khalif Raymond, who's very good. He just happens to be short. So I think with Isaiah Williams coming in there, he can be your backup for Amon-Ra in the slot, which they needed. They didn't really have anybody else who could do that other than Tom Kennedy, who will probably be a fan favorite through camp and then, you know, wind up being on the practice squad or signed somewhere else again. That's what he does. So I think they feel pretty good about that wide receiver. Is there anybody out there that's left? I don't know that they want to pay for that right now. But safety, yeah, they still need especially with the knowledge that the Kirby Joseph had recent hip surgery, and that Ifeatu Melifonwu, who's your other projected starter right now, that's a guy he's been on the injury. So he has been either on injured reserve or the injury report for all but four games of his 3 years in the NFL. So that's a guy that you probably need depth there, regardless of how you feel about Ify. You need somebody that can be a capable backup there. And going into the weekend, their only backup was Brandon Joseph, who was an undrafted rookie from last year. Vaki, again, I don't see him playing safety in the NFL other than as an emergency. So there's some work to be done there. They did sign a couple of undrafted rookies at safety. The kid from Wake Forest, and I can't think of his name, is somewhat interesting. He's another guy that he looks like a weight room guy. Like, football wise, okay. I saw enough Wake Forest, you know, studying Kalen Carson and Malik Mustafa. They're like, okay, I know who he is. I've seen him play. There might be something there, but you know, there's room for a veteran safety to come in. And like we talked about earlier, now is the time where those guys are going to want to start to sign, and they're seeing where the holes are, where they can get paid the most, where they have the most opportunity to go get playing time. And you're going to see the veteran safeties and offensive linemen who are out there right now who have not wanted to sign start to want to sign. And Detroit has enough money that they can make it worth it. And if they're in ring whore mode, like, I want to go where I can win a ring towards the end of my career, there isn't a better place than Detroit. This team can win.
All right, and speaking of winning, top of the draft for the Lions, Arnold out of Alabama, leader, very confident.
Love it.
I think he's a starter from game one. Your thoughts on his short-term and long-term impact on the Lions? Because really it begins at the top of this past weekend's draft.
Yeah, he is an alpha dog, and you want that in your top cornerback. You want a guy who's got some swagger, who's got some attitude to him. Guy wears a pink suit to the draft, you know, grabs the mic from the ESPN commentator, which was, by the way, we were in the media, in the general NFL draft media room. There was about 700 of us in there. That was very well received by the media. We're like, oh yeah, that's a guy who's got presence, man. That's a guy who's comfortable being him. That's important in your cornerbacks. Sauce Gardner had that. Richard Sherman had that. And Arnold isn't as big as those guys, but he plays that same kind of style, like that. Like, you're not getting the ball. I know there is some grumbling about his speed. I will just say he's a heck of a lot faster than Ennis Rakestraw is. Like that, another one that you want to grumble about, Ennis Rakestraw. And I have some of these grumbles myself. He's been hurt a lot. Tore his ACL, missed a season, missed 8 games of a season, and then came back. He's coming off of core muscle surgery, which was unrelated to a separate groin injury that kept him out of 4 games last year. He's got some soft tissue injury history. There's some worries with that.
So why'd the Lions take him?
Because he's a perfect fit schematically for what they want to do. He gets into the receiver's pads at the line and they don't get free. He disrupts the timing of the offense very well. He's another guy. He's a quiet guy, but he plays with a lot of intensity, a lot of passion. He's fairly cerebral on the field. This guy at Missouri made the honor roll every term that he was in school. So he's a bright guy off the field. It shows on the field. He's got some things to do, and he's not fast. He ran a 4.54 at the combine, and when you watch the Missouri film, like, yep, that checks out. He's not fast. He's not slow, but he's going to need safety help over the top with fast receivers that he can't jam. That's one of the reasons why he went to 61 instead of being taken at 29.
Anyway, he slides a safety or not big enough?
He's not a big run guy.
Run support, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know about that one. It's possible. It's possible they could play him in shifts there. But Arnold's going to be, I have a hard time seeing him not being very successful in the NFL.
Yeah, from game one.
From right away.
Yeah, being a starter.
Yeah, he should be in the role of, if you watch the Houston Texans at all, Derek Stingley came in. He was the number 3 overall pick a couple of years ago, or top 10 anyways. And like the first month, it was rough. And then after that, since then, he's been really good. And I can see that happening with Terrion Arnold. Like September, maybe in October next year, like, I don't know. And then all of a sudden it clicks in and it just goes for him. Kyle Hamilton with the Ravens was the same way. That was a guy who a lot of Lions fans really wanted and also a lot really didn't. And he was the Ravens' top pick that year. And the first like 4 to 6 games, it was rough, man. Since then, he might be the best safety in football. And that's the career arc I see for Terrion Arnold. I think he's going to be Pro Bowl potential, probably not as a rookie, but going forward, he's so good at what the Lions want their corners to do, and they haven't been able to do.
And they must see that in Rakestraw to go that high on him.
And again, he is a perfect schematic. Well,
was someone else going to grab him in the second round, or was he available third? What do you think?
I don't think he was going to be available in the third.
So the demand was there for Rakestraw that they took with pick 61.
Yeah.
And that demand was because he can jam at the line of scrimmage.
Exactly. And teams that want to do that. And by the way, you also have to look at the available player pool. Like, he was at the tail end of that group of cornerbacks, like that cluster that went there. The guys who went after that are probably a notch lower in most eyes. And so the Lions wanted to get their guy. And he, as Brad Holmes told us, was that Saturday or Saturday, that they were the top two corners on their board. And they got him at 24 and 61. It's hard to complain about that if you're a Lions fan, because what have we been yelling at for long? Their corners, they got to get better. They did. That's what the draft's for.
And you have safety nets for both, because you have Davis, who has the one-year deal, the former Buccaneer, and you have the former Raider and Robertson.
Yeah,
right?
Amik Robertson is a guy that can – he plays a very similar style to Ennis Rakestraw. He just happens to be a lot shorter. So that there's cushion there. They did bring back their depth from last year, too. Khalil Dorsey, Kendall Vildor. I know a lot of Lions fans are like, oh, please never play these guys again. But
Vildor plays the best helmet defense in the league.
He does. But they're familiar. They're reserves that are familiar with the system. And that's important.
And Holmes talked about in that press conference you were at late or early Saturday morning that, hey, Rakestraw and Arnold are going to compete. There's other guys, and he listed everyone you just mentioned that played last year that want to play this year for the Lions. So competition fuels everybody. And the culture checklist, as I go and read about all these dudes and do some homework and background, everybody checks the culture button for that Lions locker room.
100%. Every guy, I don't know about Manu, and I don't know enough about Canadian football to talk about him. Every guy was a team captain at least once. Every guy made the college honor roll at least once. Every guy was a multi-sport athlete in high school. That's very big with this team. Whether it was wrestling with Mahogany, Rakestraw ran track, Arnold ran track, and I believe he played soccer as well for a time early in his high school. Like, they just fill the boxes, man, of what this Lions... Brad and Dan say it all the time. They're cut from the same cloth. They're really good at identifying guys who are cut from that same cloth. They have the same sort of seamstress. That's if they have a superpower as an organization, it's identifying other people who fit with that group. And just as important, identifying who doesn't and not forcing them in. That was one of Bob Quinn's fatal flaws. Like, I really like this guy, and I don't care that he doesn't fit what we want to do. We're getting
it. Oh, God.
Well, that's stupid.
Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia's fatal flaws reads like the dead scroll.
It really does, if you watch.
Or scrolls, plural.
Yeah.
And, or War and Peace.
And I will tell you, if you looked at
the... Or an encyclopedia. Don't talk about Quinn and Patricia.
Yeah.
You saw what Patricia did for the Eagles defense when he took over last year, and I'm right. How'd that guy stay so long in the league?
I don't.
He probably still is in the league.
I honestly don't know where he's at.
Oh, that's what I mean.
You know what's funny though is I could see him being good on TV, and I would like to see him do it because he's a very smart guy.
He already is on TV. I'm looking at YouTube, Matt Patricia, how to blow up a franchise. It's a new reality show.
It's a multi-part series.
It's a free TV.
That's for dang sure.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Jeff Risda, by the way. Ugh. Lions Wire, Draft Wire, part of the USA Today Network. Follow Jeff on Twitter at Jeff RISDON. He is one of our Lions NFL insiders in studio talking about the draft, looking ahead to the rookie OTAs. Training camp will be here at the end of July before you know it. Now, I have seen post-draft, Jeff, and I want to talk about this in our next segment, that the Lions are listed as the second best team in the NFL. So we'll talk about that coming up. You have a Lions comment or NFL draft questions at the Huge Show. That'll be at Huge Show on Twitter, the Huge Show on Facebook, and opt in on the Roast Umber Coffee text chain. Just text HUGE to 21,000. Speaking of text, if you want to get in on the weekly Tigers ticket drawings where you could win tickets via text, just text TIGERS to 21,000. That's TIGERS to 21,000. We'll have weekly drawings through May. You just have to text us once on that. Text TIGERS to 21,000. And if you want to save 15% per ticket on select games through the end of May, go to tigers.com/huge show. That's tigers.com/huge show.
From Detroit to Petoskey, this show is huge.
Friday, July 26th at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. The Offspring.
Pretty fly for a white
Same
guy.
Show, same night. Simple plan.
I'm just a kid.
Plus special guest Hooba Stank.
Part of the Soaring Eagle Summer Outdoor Concert Series.
Tickets as low as $26 and on sale now at the Soaring Eagle box office or online at etix.com.
Party hard, rock harder.
The Offspring, Simple Plan, and Hooba Stank. July 26th, showtime 7 p.m.
Details at SoaringEagleCasino.com.
Bill Simonson here for my good friend Josh Garvey. Now, he's a managing shareholder at Dorn Mayhew's Grand Rapids office. Their world headquarters are in Troy, Michigan, on the east side of the state, and they have locations all around the world. They have over 550 motivated accounting professionals, 90 years in business, and I mentioned the 10 offices worldwide. So if you want to connect and partner with one of the top CPA accounting and business firms in the world, they're right here in Michigan. Dorn Mayhew's Troy office on the east side of the state, and Josh Garvey is a managing shareholder for their Dorn Mayhew GR office. Right there by the S-curve, you'll see the new Dorn Mayhew sign. You can find out more. Just Google Dorn Mayhew. That's DoreNMayhew or Dorn.com. They're one of America's and the world's top CPA accounting and business firms. They're Dorn Mayhew.
We're teeing off our 10th year at the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.
Huge here for my good friend Drew and the crew at Impact Power Sports. Now, they're located on 14 Mile Road in Rockford, just north of Grand Rapids here on the west side of the state. They are Michigan's newest Yamaha go-to golf cart dealer. Now, if you're looking for a golf cart for the neighborhood, the business, the golf club, maybe that second home or the lake, stop by and see Drew and the crew. They can hook you up today at Impact Power Sports. They also have e-bikes, quads, side-by-side, yard toys for the big boys and the big girls. Anything you need when it comes to power, they have it at Impact Power Sports on 14 Mile Road in Rockford. Also, if you want a shot at winning Lomas Brown's Lions golf cart, a custom-built Lions golf cart, text IMPACT to 21000. That's IMPACT to 21000, and you could win Lomas Brown's Lions golf cart this summer from Impact Power Sports and The Huge Show.
You're listening to The Huge Show on the Michigan Sports Network.
We are back in the Huge Show across Michigan. Superfly Hayes is our executive producer. Jeff Risden from Lions Wire, Draft Wire, part of the USA Today Network. You can follow both on Twitter, Facebook, and online. He's joining us talking about the Lions, their 2024 draft class. The entire draft will break down what teams won, what teams lost in the Detroit Motor City draft with Jeff in a moment. I did mention at the end of last segment that I saw one of the NFL insiders saying now after free agency and the draft, or at least the top side of free agency and the draft, the Lions are the second best team on paper in the NFL. Agree or disagree?
There's no reason to disagree. They're right there. Like, what did they lose? They lost a guard. They replaced him with a better one. They're good. They got you've talked about this a lot, and I appreciate you doing it. They got rid of their defensive coaches that weren't doing the job.
Remember when they got rid of Lynn and Campbell and stepped in, and then Ben Johnson?
Ben Johnson came in. Yeah, absolutely. And they're hoping to repeat that again. You have to trust their eyes for judgment on the coaching front. I think that Terrell Williams, just from knowing some people that have worked with him and played under him over the years, he's going to be good as your defensive line coach. You're going to see, aside from the fact that DJ Reader is in there, and now they got Mekhi Wingo in as sort of a...
And Davenport, right?
Marcus Davenport is another one where if he's healthy, he's going to help you a lot. We'll see about that. I like what they've done, man. They are right there with the 49ers, the Chiefs. I think the Ravens are going to be up there. Eagles, you probably can't count them out.
They had a good draft.
Yeah, they did. I think the Texans, I'm not crazy about their draft, but they've done a fantastic job for the rest of the offseason. They have a young core. They have a great young coach, DeMeco Ryans, who's a lot like Dan Campbell, sort of the AFC South version. I think they're going to be really good. You know, there's some good teams out there. The Lions absolutely belong at the top of that list. There's no reason they shouldn't be, other than the fact that it's Detroit. What did they want? That's the only thing you can say about this team that isn't a positive.
They led the Niners, 24-7 at halftime?
They did.
They were one of the final four teams. They were in the NFC Championship.
They were right there. They were two quarters away from being in the Super Bowl, and a winnable Super Bowl at that.
All right, so I had a new D-line coach, new secondary coach. You've added DJ Reader, Davenport, Mengo via the draft, Robertson, Carlton Davis,
yeah.
Arnold.
And Rakestraw.
And Rakestraw.
Yeah.
All right, hello.
Those are eight
pieces if you include the two coaches that are upgraded from where you were a couple plays away in the second half from still finding a way to get to a Super Bowl that I still believe they would have won.
Look at it this way. Kendall Vildor started in that game. He is now cornerback 6 or 7.
Is his helmet? I wanted to stop by the NFL Hall of Fame last weekend in Canton and see if his helmet was there in the San Francisco 49er NFC 2024 champion wing. Use your hand.
That was so frustrating.
Reynolds, there is no way he was ever coming back after the drops. No way.
No, and then to give him credit, Denver paid him a lot. More than Detroit ever would have, that's for sure. So
yeah, how about Denver? Bo Nix, right?
That was another one where we kind of expected that one.
He had to get a quarterback after dumping everything on Wilson, right?
Yes, they had to. And they should be bad this year. They should be a last place team this year. They get, you know, it's like the python swallowing the deer. You got to get it down. That's this year for them.
How do they do that? I see that on YouTube all the time or on Twitter. How does a python swallow a deer?
That's gastric juices, baby.
Heimlich. What's the Heimlich maneuver on that one on the restaurant board?
Didn't that happen to Ice Cube in the movie Anaconda? We're going off topic here, but yeah, that's Denver this year. That's not going to be a good football team, but they know it. And I like Bo Nix in that the Sean Payton offense. He can do most of what Drew Brees did. I don't hate that at
all. Similar quarterback. That's a good. A little bit taller than Brees.
Yeah.
But we talked about Caleb Williams. A lot of people thinking that he's going to step in and be C.J. Stroud meets.
I mean,
Patrick Mahomes.
He will have every chance to do it.
Jane Daniels went second out of LSU, Heisman Trophy winner. You said you really like the Commanders draft.
Love what the Commanders did for the first three or four rounds of that draft. They killed it. They got guys who will start right away with high upside to continue beyond that. They got Johnny Newton, who was my best rated defensive player in the draft in the second round. Defensive tackle, you probably know him as Jerjon, coming out of Illinois. He's Gerald McCoy 2.0. If you watch Gerald McCoy's tape when he was with the Buccaneers, and you remember he was the number three pick right after Ndamukong Suh in the 2010 draft. Suh was more of the home wrecker, like I'm a tornado. I'm gonna come in and destroy everything. McCoy was more like, yeah, I'm sort of the poisonous gas that's just gonna get your quarterback and knock him out. That's the way Johnny Newton is. He's a speed-based player, but nobody in the Big Ten could block him, including Michigan and their great offensive line that they had. They couldn't block him. That was larceny on the Commanders' part there. They did a great job.
Drake May, I'm not impressed a lot with him. He goes number three. I really thought J.J. McCarthy, who we'll get to in a moment, who went at 10 to the Vikings, but Drake May... the QB out of North Carolina goes number three to the Patriots.
I'll tell you what, I didn't see it in him.
Neither did I.
And it was one of those things where, like, everybody kept telling me he's going to be great. He's going to, like, when? Like, I watched a lot of North Carolina football.
Strong arm, the prototypical quarterback, you know, 6'4"-ish, high, you know, 6'3" and some change. Okay, throw it a mile.
Okay,
right?
So we're what, like 10 yards away from Brett here? If Brett's moving, I'm not sure that Drake May would be able to hit him from here.
I don't like that pick at all.
That was one where I liked Bo Nix a lot better than I liked Drake May as a quarterback.
Did you like Bo Nix better than McCarthy and May?
He and McCarthy were almost exactly the same grade for me. So that's going to be one of those situational ones. McCarthy's going to be an interesting one to watch.
So McCarthy's in a better situation offensively.
Absolutely.
Than what Drake May is with New England.
Yeah, New England.
Jefferson Addison.
I wasn't crazy about their draft.
They got Jones from Green Bay, right?
They did.
Hockenson will be coming back from the blown out knee, right?
Minnesota's got a good football team. And if JJ is anywhere close to what his advocates say he will be, they're going to be very difficult to beat. And I like JJ's chances. I do.
The way he met the media, the team, that leadership quality isn't measured in a combine.
No, it's not. I think he's ready, and I think he will get a very good chance to show that he's very good. If it fails, it's going to be because he doesn't develop the timing and ability to operate off script as well as some of his
predecessors.
Yeah,
but he threw so many short passes at Michigan, which I think will come into play in the NFL, especially early, till you get comfortable. And then he's going to have Addison as a deep threat. Yeah. Jefferson can be underneath and deep.
You just brought up T.J. Hockenson. Look at how much the Michigan offense featured tight ends over the years.
I know.
A.J. Barner, by the way, got drafted. I think he went to the Seahawks.
A guy who barely played.
Good fifth
in
round
the Michigan
pick.
Offense.
Yeah, he was actually Michael Penix's top tight end at Indiana. They both transferred. Penix went to Washington. Barner went to Michigan, and I like his chances. I'm not just saying that because he's from where I used to live. So.
All right, Joel or Harrison Jr. goes to the Cardinals. Obvious
no-brainer.
You know, with Kyler Murray, to have some help.
That's incredible.
Joel, the best offensive lineman in the draft. Harbaugh likes to build from the trenches out. There you go, 6'8" dude out of ND. Malik Nabers goes as the second best wide receiver to the Giants. They're going to stick with Daniel Jones, J.C. Latham, another
Latham's a bit lineman. Of a projection, but
some thought Harbaugh might go with him overall.
There was a lot of very late buzz that was going to be the deal. Yeah,
And then you have Michael Penix Jr., who we talked about early at 8. I just saw his ad for the Georgia Lottery. Hey, I hit the lottery, you can too. It's a good ad. Adunzi. To be a target for
fantastic
Caleb
pick by
Williams
the Bears, man. That's a great pick. I think he's better than Nabers.
Yeah, and you know what's pretty cool? Dunsey and Williams will never go to the playoffs together. McCarthy at 10. That's what we mentioned. We talked about Knicks. Brock Bowers at 13. Raiders, who's their quarterback?
And they took a first-round tight end last year.
Who's their quarterback? It sounds like they were really throwing.
Aiden O'Connell is the quarterback. They like him.
Oh, yeah, out of Purdue. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Good luck. 132 a game doesn't cut it. It looks like when Penix Jr. got taken, they kind of got caught off guard, just took best available on the draft. So those are some of the picks we talked about. Buddy, everybody can follow the draft in its entirety. DraftWire, LionsWire, at Jeff, RISDON. My man, strong stuff in studio as always.
appreciate you having me in here and almost wrapping up this draft first. We're doing the Detroit Lions podcast live tonight, and then I'm going into a hole for a while.
All right, get some downtime.
Okay? I need it.
Yeah, he's amazing with his Lions and NFL draft coverage, Lions Wire and Draft Wire, Twitter, Facebook, social networks, and also online. Now, if you missed any of our conversation, Huge Show podcasts are free, and we are everywhere. Apple, Google, Spotify, iHeart, Podbean, Amazon, and more. Just search The Huge Show where you download podcasts, and you can catch up and listen on your schedule. Just search The Huge Show.
Everything huge, 24/7 at thehugeshow.net.
We're teeing off our 10th year at the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.
Huge here for my good friends from Flying Ace Whiskey. Now it's an American-made whiskey bottled right here in our great state of Michigan. And Flying Ace Whiskey has partnered with the Folds of Honor Michigan chapter to help Michigan children of men and women injured or killed in combat, and also the children of our first responders who are injured or die and making the ultimate sacrifice while serving and protecting. And there's a simple, easy way for you to donate with that money going to the Folds of Honor Michigan chapter. Look for the Flying Ace Whiskey bottle neckers on bottles all across the state of Michigan here over the next couple of weeks, and you can donate, and that money will go directly to the Folds of Honor Michigan program on behalf of Flying Ace Whiskey. And also, Flying Ace Whiskey has put up 4 scholarships for the children. Flying Ace Whiskey, an American-made whiskey, taking a lot of pride in America. Look for it in stores and pubs all across Michigan.
Hey, Michigan, let's go big. I'm Herman Moore, Lions All-Pro wide receiver, and I'm talking real big-time winning on the hottest slots and table games on one incredible app, Eagle Casino and Sports.
Sign up now and get up to $1,500. That's right. We'll match your deposit for up to $1,500, and you'll get 100 free spins.
Eagle Casino and Sports. Made in Michigan. Made for Michigan.
Must be 21 or older and in Michigan to play.
Huge here for Van Andel Institute Purple Community. Now, they're a grassroots fundraising network powered by the volunteers who support VAI's mission to improve health now and in the future. Learn more at purplecommunity.org.
You're listening to The Huge Show on the Michigan Sports Network.
We are back in The Huge Show across Michigan, 19 radio stations strong. For the one close to you, go to thehugeshow.net. Superfly Hayes, my executive producer, tells me Clayton Safey for thewolverine.com is standing by. Dusty May is just killing it. Not the offseason, not even his first season. We'll talk about less than 2 months on the job. Clayton, the roster he's putting together, the roster he's preserving from what was left when Howard was done. It's amazing what we're seeing in Ann Arbor with Dusty May.
Yeah, it was a heck of a month. January, February, March, May.
Boom.
You know, he did. There we go. He did an incredible job. And, you know, it was funny because as soon as he took over, once he kind of got, you know, his footing a little bit, you started to see that they were reaching out to a bunch of different transfers. But then from there, it quickly came together with the guys they prioritized. I mean, it got to the point where they were telling guys that were scheduled to visit that, hey, we actually already got a commitment at your position. You know, maybe look elsewhere. Connor Asijan, the Wisconsin transfer, is one of those guys. He ended up at Nebraska. But and then George Washington III today, who's going to be a sophomore guard for Michigan. You know, he entered the portal, withdrew his name after Dusty May was hired, and they had some good conversations. But he's since added 5 guards to the roster, and George Washington III, a guy who maybe could have had a role, you know, if Juwan Howard was staying around, has noticed that there's so much talent on this roster right now that he decided to go back into the transfer portal today. So all those types of moves speak to how well they're doing, and Vlad Goldin being the big piece that we all expected it, them to add at the center position, his center from Florida Atlantic. He dropped today with his commitment, so that's a really big one, and I think now they're going to search for another impact guy on the wing or in the backcourt, and you're talking about, you know, a team that I think is going to be really competitive.
Oh, my God. I'm telling you, adding Vlad, 7'1" Russian, averaged almost 16 a game and 7 boards and 2 blocks for Dusty of Florida Atlantic, 67% plus field goal percentage. This dude's a monster. I'm looking at their roster right now, and I'm trying to be objective doing a statewide show, and Clayton Safey from the Wolverine.com joining us. But tell me anybody else in Big Ten hoops right now that has the talent on their roster that Dusty May has assembled, and he's not done yet.
Yeah, I mean, other teams aren't done yet either, but I agree with you. You know, when you look around at least what they've added, I mean, Michigan certainly didn't have the caliber of players returning, you know, that some of these other schools do. But in terms of what he's brought in, and then now you kind of stack that up against the totality of what other schools in the Big Ten have, I think it's right there. You know, Indiana's done a good job as well. But, you know, I don't think that it's too far-fetched to think that Michigan, with this roster, as long as it all comes together, can compete in the Big Ten next year. I mean, remember 2 years ago when they missed the NCAA tournament, they were tied for second in the Big Ten with a week and a half to go in the regular season. So, you know, to compete, it doesn't take the craziest thing, you know, roster in the world to do that. But I think they've built a really good one here. And, you know, you mentioned Vlad Goldin, who we just talked about a little bit. I mean, he is going to do it for Michigan on both ends, I think, which is important. You mentioned the block, you know, 2 blocks a game that he has. But, you know, he can protect the rim. He can guard pick and rolls. He's athletic enough, not a stretch big man, but somebody who can do a lot for you on both ends of the floor. I think that's really important because Michigan had to improve on defense from what they were last year. And by all accounts, the pieces that Dusty May has added, he's added some athleticism and guys that are going to defend. And the biggest thing Dusty May talks about is playing connected, and that helps on defense as well. You have the talent on offense. They'll still add more, but them being connected on defense is going to go a long way.
Clayton Safey, Wolverine.com, Michigan insider, talking about Vlad is glad he chose Ann Arbor. Vlad Goldin. Sounds like the next boxer is going to take on Rocky at Rocky 83. 7-1, are you kidding me? And then, you know, Pippen's son, the transfers, keeping some recruits. Speaking of recruits, what about Darrell Fab Brooks from Grand Rapids Catholic Central on the west side of the state? Is he solid with May?
Yeah, he is. Sat down with him, I think, 2 weeks ago to the day over at Catholic Central, and he's excited to get there, that he was just getting connected with some of the new assistant coaches. So he's an impact guy as well. One Mr. Basketball in the state of Michigan, first kid from his school, fourth kid from the Grand Rapids area to do that. So he's impressive. You know, with all the guards they have on the roster right now, you know, I think it'd be tough to find some minutes as a freshman, but I think he has a bright future, and it seems like he's locked in.
You can follow everything connected to Michigan basketball. And also, what was the final number? 13 Wolverines drafted?
13. Yep, 13 guys.
And the record was 15. People are trying to pile on Michigan. Like, oh, they didn't break the record. Brutus Sparty came at me on Twitter and said, oh, you ready to talk some smack now? And I'm like, they missed by 2 players of tying the all-time record? I said, I'm not going to call out Michigan State for having one guy drafted. Don't talk smack, Brutus Sparty. And first off, when I got to respond to people with their Twitter handles, that irritates me. Brutus Sparty, 13, and then all the guys that got invited ended up getting to the combine, ended up at least getting the undrafted free agent invitations. Follow everything, Michigan basketball, football, and more at thewolverine.com. Clayton Safey, appreciate the update on Dusty the month of May.
Thanks for having me.
Well, March may be the month for Izzo. May is the month for Dusty.
No doubt.
Don't give me a courtesy laugh again, okay? We love you, Clayton.
Love you too. Thanks for having me.
Clayton Safey for the Wolverine.com. Remember, if you miss any conversation, interview, our full show, our podcast are free And we are everywhere. Apple, Google, Spotify, iHeart, Podbean, and more. Amazon. Just search The Huge Show, and you can download the podcast for free and catch up on your schedule.
Big, bad, huge.